Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, May the 25th, 2015, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. And I would say welcome Michael, except he's not on the switchboard. I am not sure what's going on there. We're in two different places, but I spoke to him just a few minutes ago, and I said, well, it's almost showtime. I said, I'm going to go get the switchboard on. And so I don't know if something's happened on his end, why he's not with us. I'm sure he'll join us here very quickly. So let's start out, though. This is Memorial Day, and that is a federal holiday in the United States for remembering people who have died while serving in the armed forces. We absolutely hold the space for all the families and everyone who has been impacted by that. And we definitely want to honor and support and send love to, I think everybody probably in the whole country has felt the results of war in one way or another. And so on this day, we remember them and all of their loved ones who have passed on and hold the space, and we move forward from here. So since Michael's not with us, I'll say hi, Dr. Tim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How is your toe and your knees healing?
they are getting better. It was definitely a rough day Friday. And yesterday, I think all the muscles finally kind of kicked in where I'd like caught myself. And so I was very sore yesterday, but today's much better. So thank you for asking.
Good. Glad to hear it. Did we hear rustling from Michael in the background?
You do.
My apology. I was up close to a building and I couldn't get a signal through, and I moved away and I got a signal. So here I am. Happy Memorial Day.
You have the floor, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, gee, I'm in the car. I guess there's a floor in the car. Sure. Okay. Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm not sure that the greeting Happy Memorial Day is all that appropriate, although that seems to be the thing, but certainly a remembering Memorial Day, that we remember that there's insanity in our world, and it's time for us to remember that we can repair it and to hold the space for those who've tried and tried perhaps to of no avail and lost their lives doing it, lost their sanity doing it, lost their health, lost their families, and the impact that it's had on everyone involved in that whole insane game of war. And what we're here to do is to create a space of support. In particular, to speak today about a space of support for those who have been used and abused in war, impacted, affected by it, and to bring a change, to bring support for those folks who've been through that, and to come forward in a space where healing occurs, where we can move out of the insanity of rage and guilt and grief and pain and the desire for people to kill each other, the training that causes people to kill each other, and to move back to human lives, living as human beings, you know, to maintain this condition of love that's in us, even if our murderous rage comes up, that's possible. And as we do that, we start to make a change. And of course, the first step is remembering. So certainly Memorial Day is an appropriate name for it for both reasons. Our remembering who we are and that we can do something about it, and our remembering what it's cost those who've been engaged forcibly or willingly to participate in that play that's happening on the planet called war. And so that's what we're here to do. And our call-in number, of course, is 646-200-4169. And we'd love to hear your voice. If you have a particular Memorial Day wish to offer to somebody in particular, or a blessing or a support for them, we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
We do have a hand up. It's area code 704. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Jeannie, Dr. Michael Rice, Dr. Kim. This is Stephanie in Ecuador. How are you today?
Well, hey there, young lady. We are doing well. We are doing well in cloudy Atlanta.
Oh, well, we have a lot of clouds here at 8,200 feet, but the sunshine is peeking through. So, I would like to offer a blessing to all the children and grandchildren of parents, grandparents who fought in World War II, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War. I mean, we have a long list. It seemed to be very continuous. And I have both my father and an uncle on my mother's side were dramatically affected by the war, and as a result, we kids were too. My father started being a contrarian and opposing war while he was still in the military. He retired after 20 years, but it was a forced retirement. They wanted to get rid of him because he started talking about peace and how we were trying to ring Russia around with nuclear weapons, and how all of this resistance was only going to bring more war and pain to our own country. You said it so well. You said the more you don't want it, the more powerfully you will create it in your world. And my father, you know, clearly saw that in the 1950s, while he was still in the military. My uncle was very young. Well, my father was young, too. Everybody was young when they went to World War II. But he, my uncle, was involved in hand-to-hand combat. And killing a man with his weapon, his hands, bare hands and weapons, destroyed him. He not only came back bitter, angry, and hating himself, but he wound up killing somebody else out of that anger and spending many years of his life in prison.
Unfortunately, that's the program, and we certainly hold a space, and we... You know, I don't know whether you've heard any of the shows where Michael Coughlin's called in. He's a former Navy SEAL trainer, and he's called in and shared on the show how, before he started to do this work, what he would do, it he would go at night into crack neighborhoods, hoping someone would attack him, so he'd have the opportunity to get that adrenaline buzz of beating up on somebody. And and now what he does is he teaches this work and he speaks about human life. And so one of the things we're here to do, and you know, there was a somebody who came to a workshop, this goes back a couple of years, and I've never been into Nostradamus, but they said that there's a quatrain in Nostradamus' work that says the warriors will come to Heartland to heal. And, of course, that's the name of our teaching center.
Yes.
And we've seen several warriors come with rage, drug, alcohol problems, and murderous tendencies, suicidal tendencies, and we consistently see them walk out without it. We see their injuries disappear. We see their infirmities disappear. The technology is known. It's just a matter of getting it to the people who need it. And one of the challenges with doing that is it threatens the whole establishment of war. That's one of the biggest challenges.
It's a big business.
To bringing healing. And, you know, there's all kinds of nice words by those who send young men off to war about how much we appreciate them and how great a service they've done. But in the last analysis, these men and women are not properly taken care of. They are not supported the way that they need to be supported. So they make up a very large percentage of the prison population. They make up a huge percentage of the homeless population. The latest numbers from the states that report, and there are less than half of them, with two or three of the largest states not reporting. There are, I think the latest numbers are something like, and I might be off, my brain just isn't there right now, but something like 15 vets a day killing themselves. And in order to bring healing to that, we're going to have to, one of the biggest challenges is to overcome the resistance of those who make fortunes off of war. And that's just something we need to look at in our culture. You know, every state vies for weapons manufacturers. It's like, well, what are weapons manufacturers for? They're for creating war. But we need that money in our state. If we lose those jobs, it's like, give up the jobs, folks. Go grow yourself a garden, buy an acre of land, and live on your farm. You don't need money. But kings don't like that story. And there's one of the biggest challenges. And, you know, I think there's a turnaround happening. Jeannie and I, one of our ways of playing when we're on the road and getting an intermission for ourselves is doing movies. And last night we went and saw a film that to me was so inspiring and so hope-filled because one of the big players on the planet with programming and brainwashing people into the...
Start back with...
I'm hearing you pretty consistently here.
Yeah, I can hear
him. Okay, so maybe it's cutting on your end, Jeannie. In any event, one of the big players on the planet, and I mean one of the hugest players on the planet, that has been brainwashing people for war for too long, in this movie last night, changed the story. And actually, it's the third film that we've seen from them in just the last year or two, major film, that does a turnaround. And, you know, I've spoken before on the show about Disney. And, you know, the insanity of, if you've seen Down the Rabbit Hole, or the latest production that Disney did of Alice in Wonderland, when Alice gets down the rabbit hole and meets the Mad Hatter. The Mad Hatter welcomes her with the comment of, "We brought you here to kill." And Alice says, "I don't kill." And the Mad Hatter says to her, "Well, what's wrong with you that you won't kill?" And she ends up doing that. And, you know, to me, that's the brainwash for war. That's taking little kids and filling their heads with insane ideas. And insane ideas produce insane realities, and insane realities produce insane behaviors, and people kill each other. But if you go back, and I think it's probably about, I don't know, a year and a half or 2 years ago, Saving Mr. Banks, and I don't know what's happened with Disney, but I suspect there's some new management or there's a new philosophy that they're going with, because if you look at the movie Saving Mr. Banks, it's a very powerful true story about Walt Disney himself and the author of the book. Well, for those who haven't seen it, for the author of the book, Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember the scene where Disney follows her to England and talks about, bears his soul, his secret, his story about his
mm-hmm.
abuse as a child and the forgiveness that's needed, and that what they're going to do is take care of her father in this movie. He realizes that it's her father that's Mr. Banks. And
mm-hmm.
the power of that message. And then recently they did a remake of Cinderella. And
mm-hmm.
the take on the Cinderella story, as opposed to, you know, down the rabbit hole and kill,
mm-hmm.
there's a very powerful scene. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing these consecutively. Her mother is dying, and she gets a very powerful message about how kind she is, that she has more kindness in her baby finger than most people have in their whole bodies, and how committed, how persistent she is. And she holds to that through the whole film. And, you know, there's a feminist perspective that, yeah, well, you always need, you know, the game is that you always need the prince to come and save you. But in fact, what I think was clear in this film was that she created the kind of support that did bring the prince to support her, but it was her creative process. It wasn't about the prince coming in and saving her. So to me, that was another level of the hopeful message. And then last night, Tomorrowland is a new film that's out. And the bottom line of it, without giving the whole storyline away, is that there's a group of people who are creative, and they've gone to another dimension. You know, it's a futuristic kind of thing, and they've gone to another dimension to save the world. And the person who ends up running the whole show decides that, you know, people aren't going to do anything if they're given positive information. So he's created this machine that broadcasts to every mind how dramatically damaged the planet is and how it's going down the tubes. And his motivation was, well, if we do that, people are going to take action. But this young girl, who's the heroine, comes in, and she sees that this is just brainwashing people for destruction. And this machine is literally broadcasting this signal. And I think, for me, what I saw was a confession from Disney of what
mm-hmm.
they've been doing, because they were the machine that was broadcasting this signal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the machine, of course, is destroyed, and it moves into a positive message, and they end up recruiting kids that unfortunately use the negative regulatory speech of, you know, that haven't given up, but kids and young people who still have hope, and that we can change the game. And it was just, to me, it's like, what a symbol of critical mass getting ready to happen. A player as big as Disney has changed its story. And they may not agree with me that they've confessed as to what they were doing, and they've
mm-hmm.
made a turnaround. And to me, that is like, whoa, we're moving in the right direction. You know, critical mass is getting closer by the minute. So it's pretty powerful.
Fabulous. That's wonderful to hear.
It is fabulous. It is fabulous.
I want to just suggest something or ask something of those who are the offspring of people who suffered in the war, both men and women.
Yes.
My father tried to change himself, and he did a wonderful job, but he recognized in his 50s that he might not be able to change himself enough to really make a difference in the world.
Right.
Of course, his effort to change did affect others. However,
it opened a space.
Yeah, exactly. It opened a space, and he was, you know, not entirely aware of that, although he was aware of E=MC² and matter and energy, you know, being transformed back and forth into each other. And so anyway, he was conscious, but he kept infusing me with the message, his only child, to,
cool.
you know, you have to carry on the work. You have
Yay.
To, you have to do
for,
it.
For a military mind, 20 years in the military, to be able to have that conversation, kind of conversation, is so powerful and so miraculous, because, you know, there's actually a book out there, War is a Racket, by a fellow who in First World War was the most decorated Marine of all time up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he admits in his writing is, I never had an original thought till I got out of the military and realized what I was doing. And his whole book, I mean, it's like a $5 book you can buy on Amazon, War is a Racket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a powerful read from a military man who saw it from the inside and realized what he was doing, what kind of insanity he was doing. It's powerful. Smedley Butler. And actually, I think you can read it online, too, but you know, it's a $5 book from Amazon, and it's pretty powerful.
Well, I'm very
happy. So congratulations to your dad.
Other writers.
Yeah, congratulations to your dad. That's
thank
awesome.
Thank you. And I have to say that while, you know, I attended your programs in the 1990s and have reread your book, actually, I was listening to something that I recorded in 2009, just yesterday, and I had quoted you in 2009 in a program that I did. So I've been following you a lot of years, following this work, and, of course, my wonderful mentor, Dorothy Ann and Don Jackson, in Sarasota, Florida, at Unity, Sarasota Unity, carried me so far. But for a lot of years, of course, I was caught up in life, in the busyness of life, although my life was coaching people and helping them to awaken, get over their fears of money, and, to stop using that as a stumbling block for failing to forgive themselves and move forward. So anyway, I feel that I've always done a little bit, but now the opportunity, as I am quote-unquote retired, and being able to write at my leisure and to write. I only write when I have inspiration. I find that that's usually about 4 to 5 days a week. And then the other couple of days, I just need to take off.
right. So you had a request for the offspring of those who've gone through the insanity of war.
Yes, yeah. To really absorb what our parents and grandparents went through, how they were affected by it, and for us to carry on the change that they may have felt but weren't able to affect.
Powerful. I don't know if you've touched into the latest worksheet, but if you go to the website and you click the bullseye in the middle of the page, the second link will have the latest worksheet on it. But step two in the worksheet now includes a statement that says, I'm willing to face and process out all disease-producing energy from all my generations. And in that workshop, we now speak about, am I willing to become a space of love that's big enough to literally pull out of my genes all of that drama, every connection to that, and maintain a space of love through it and bring healing to the generations, because that's such an important key in the process.
Yes, it is.
So I hear your input and being able to empathize. I mean,
good. And I'm
these generations. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you. In the second book that I'm writing, I create a workbook to go along with each one of my books. And the purpose of all my 1-hour e-books is to dispel the huge cynicism that, you know, is in the world. I sense it every time we leave Ecuador and go back to the U.S. for a visit. Ecuador is a really happy place, and in fact, I just discovered the other day that we have a Department of Happiness here.
Awesome.
That's quite remarkable. But anyway, I noticed the cynicism when we go back to the U.S., and the last time I came back last spring, I just was overwhelmed and asking myself, you know, what can I do? And then, of course, all of my father's words and urgings to help change the world were upon me. And so I started writing woke up one morning and started writing. And I decided to do something simple, 1-hour books of bite-sized information. as I go back and reread books, I compliment your book for being, I think, just the perfect size. Why is this happening to me again? But most books have gotten too technical in constantly trying to prove everything about law of attraction and all of the information. So what I've done is I've distilled it down to something that you can read in an hour. And a wonderful friend just emailed me the other day and said, I'm reading your book. She said, I know it's only an hour and I should sit down and be able to get through it all at once, but it just wasn't possible. And I said, you know, there's no judgment on how you read the book. It's up to you.
Right.
Just love
sure.
it and enjoy it. But I wanted to dispel cynicism and restore hope, help people to start, you know, get some information, a little bite of information, to forgive themselves. And then along with each book on my website, I'm creating a workbook so that they can get the basic information, and then if they need to go and work something out. And I appreciate the fact that you say use your material freely, and I would like to create include your new worksheet in my newest workbook that's going along with my second book.
Absolutely. Now, are you open to some coaching?
Absolutely, please.
Oh, good. Okay. So one of the things that happens is our words instruct our minds how to build our realities, and there's an old belief system around and a teaching that has permeated the planet that we need to forgive ourselves and we need to forgive each other. It's one of the biggest lies ever told. You know, Hitler used to say, if you can make the lie big enough and tell it enough, everybody believe it.
Right.
And today we have virtually, everybody on the planet believing that they need to forgive themselves. My coaching is never, ever forgive yourself for anything. And then the next one is I need to forgive everybody else for the things they've done to me. And my input is never forgive anyone because we've been conned. You know, Vladimir Lenin says change the meaning of a culture's words, you can destroy the culture. And we've had the word forgive changed from what it originally meant in the first century Aramaic, which is remove.
Remove the error.
Letting self or others off the hook for what's happened. And so accurately described, if I do what the world calls forgiving myself, I'm pardoning. If I do what the world calls forgiving somebody else, I'm pardoning. But if I call either of those acts forgiveness, then I'll stop short of doing any forgiveness work. I hear from people all the time that say, oh, I hear you're doing that workshop on forgiveness, but I don't need to do it because I've already forgiven everybody, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my kids, my neighbors, my employer. I've forgiven my former spouse. I've forgiven my present spouse. I've even forgiven my future spouses. And what I know when somebody's using that language is that they, to date, have done absolutely zero forgiveness work, none, because there's no forgiveness in that. Pardoning's nice, but it's not forgiveness. So when you look at the new worksheet, if you haven't gotten into it yet, when you do, I'll invite you to, you know, when you hit the bullseye, the second link has the worksheet on it. Take the top worksheet, and that will explain the process, or that is the actual worksheet you can print off. And then the third link under the bullseye is a series of about 14, I think, different radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole forgiveness process. And so when you use the worksheet, as opposed to using the language of forgiving them, if you talk about pardoning, I'd invite you to accurately language that's pardoning. And then after, you know, somebody did something insane and I've chosen to pardon them, and I realize that I'm in pain, that their behavior resonated pain in me, now I apply forgiveness and I go inside and I remove my capacity for pain, for cynicism, for hate, for fear, for anger, for anguish. And that way I get to be a pain-free being. Letting other people off the hook and letting myself off the hook never changes the root of the pain, and that's why people get stuck in, why is this happening to me again? So I'd certainly be delighted if you wanted to use the worksheet and instructions on it, and if you'd be kind enough to send it to me before you publish it, I'll be happy to give you feedback on any refinements on that, because it is, it's a difficult brainwash to break away from. We're forgiving ourselves and each other into, we're removing the content that never belonged in us in the first place.
Exactly. Got it.
So, cool. Awesome. Awesome. Well, you've got my support, young lady. It's fabulous.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And I've seen several of the links that you sent, but we've had such an intense week here that I really haven't gotten into any of them. I did look briefly at the Department of Happiness. It's interesting, in Costa Rica they have a Department of Peace, and there are a couple of people here in America who have tried to create a Department of Peace in America, and the resistance is so high that it just hasn't happened yet. But, you know, the times, they are changing. When a big player like Disney gets on board, things are changing for sure.
Yes. And I certainly.
And tell us how we can get your book.
Well, the first book is Smashing Through the Roadblocks in the Highways of Your Mind. And it's available at Amazon, iBooks, Barnes & Noble. It's in both the Kindle format and the EPUB format, which all other bookstores seem to handle. And it's around the world. I chose to publish through a source that put my book on 15 online bookstores around the world. So it's awesome and exciting to me, and just another symbol of how the technology is enabling us. I had a thought this weekend, and it is that perhaps the internet's ability to connect millions, perhaps eventually billions of voices until we're all connected, is reflecting the field of consciousness that we all came from.
I think that's where it's heading, yes. Did you end up publishing through Book Baby?
I did, yes.
They're pretty awesome what they're doing. Very
wonderful,
cool stuff.
Wonderful.
Cool stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of fun to look up the bookstore in Germany and see that it's in euros, and in India it's in rupees, and pounds,
right,
in England, the price.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, it's 1 hour long, and it costs less than a latte. So it's $2.99. I wanted to make it as affordable as possible. And, of course, I would also like to offer I now have it in the PDF format, which almost everybody can read on their computers. I would like to offer to give it to you and your audience, because, like you, I want to spread the word. I want to spread the thoughts.
Cool.
I was inspired when I wrote it, and I'm getting wonderful responses, lots of great 5-star reviews on Amazon. And I would just like to share the book in a PDF format.
Cool. Well, you've got my email. I'd love to read it. I'd love to get it and have a look at it. And we've got some time this week, and now that we're finished with workshops here in Atlanta, and we're going to be heading off to Asheville. We start next Sunday, but I will have some time and have a look at all that material that you sent me.
Wonderful. That sounds great. And because, of course, in there is an invitation to come to Ecuador and to bring your forgiveness process here. I think it would be very, very well received by the several thousand expats who live in my city. And there are 26,000 expats in all of Ecuador.
Awesome.
And people from all over the world. So thank you so much, Michael. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
I do have the date you sent, and we're looking in that direction. So we'll certainly be communicating as time unfolds.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
All right. Thanks for your call. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. 646.
Caller.
Oh, okay. Let's go for it.
Okay. Area code 618. You're on the air.
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Michael. Hi, Dr. Tim. This is Gail from South Central Illinois.
Welcome, young lady.
Thank you. I just left Mountain Light Sanctuary, spent the weekend with Dale and Loretta for his retreat, and stayed the extra day to participate in Nana's meditation that she did. Nina is Sister Rocky, who I understand built some of the buildings at Heartland. And I did a session, a private session with her. So I'm on the road. I'm on. I'm in Tennessee right now, actually, in between Knoxville and Nashville. So I wanted to thank you for this radio show, because calling into the radio show feels like calling home, if that makes sense. And I think my Memorial Day tribute would be to the Native Americans that perished. Just leaving Cherokee country is huge for me, and I'm 164th Cherokee. So I wanted to offer that, and I'm also a child of a Vietnam vet. My father was a combat photographer in Vietnam in 67 to 68. And my mother said that he was never the same when he came back. So
sadly, nobody's ever the same, and that is not counted, unfortunately, in the cost of war, the lives that it destroys and the lives that are touched by those lives that are destroyed are not counted in the cost. And the insane mind keeps going, oh, well, you know, we can afford this. We can't afford it anymore. The planet can't afford it anymore. It's got to stop.
So that, he is a decorated Vietnam vet. He got a silver medal for pulling bodies out of the way of tanks during sniper fire. And he also, I think he was in the Tet Offensive. I'm not exactly sure, but he was on a bridge and a grenade landed right next to him and it didn't go off. So, but I think I'm the product of a lot of the abuse. Like when he came home, I was the brunt of a lot of the abuse. And then my parents got divorced when I was 5. So that was that. So I was very much affected by that. So I very much appreciate Stephanie's opening and you know, looking at just the families that the veterans come home to and how they're affected.
Pardon me, my mute button was on. I was just acknowledging you for the work that you've done and what you're taking forward, what you've personally been facing has been some pretty heavy-duty stuff. And so I acknowledge you for the willingness to do that and certainly opening the space. I don't know whether Brad might be on the show today. I suspect he might, but Brad is both Native American and a vet, and he's actually been teaching this work to combat vets out in Colorado. And so I hope we might hear from him today, and maybe Michael Coughlin will be on as well, I'm hoping. So we hold the space, and we're glad you spent that time with Dale. You are blessed by that, I'm sure. That's fabulous.
One more comment that I'm going to make, and then I will get off to make room for Brad and for Michael if they're on the show. I wanted to acknowledge Jeannie. I remember that she was talking last week about her healing crisis that she went through after we did Healing the Whole Woman. And another modality that, a spiritual modality that I belong to, one of the common sayings is I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. And when she was going through her healing crisis after we had, you know, had all been lifted up during the Healing the Whole Woman, and I appreciated watching her go through that. It was a lot of validation for me to watch that, and I didn't see any weakness in that at all. I saw a lot of strength, and that's something that I needed to be involved and be a part of, and I just wanted to say that. And with saying that, I am going to I'll get off and allow space for everybody else to call in. And thank you so much for being the
Thank you, Gail.
Father and mother.
I appreciate that.
And I miss your eyes. I still miss your eyes. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so we have another caller. Michael, are you still there?
I am. Unfortunately, I've been in the sun where my mute button doesn't show up, so sometimes I'm talking and I think I'm on mute or I'm not on mute. So, but I'm back, and I was just thanking Gail for the acknowledgement of you and also joining in that acknowledgement. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you're so willing has opened a space for people to see what healing looks like. And, you know, we can talk about it, but it's a whole other thing. You know, when you realize, you know, the symptoms of healing, physical, mental, emotional, and then it just goes to a whole new level when you can actually see somebody go through it and you go, ah, that's what it looks like. Huh. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. We do have another caller. It's area code 970. You're on the air.
I'm Michael, Jeannie, Dr. Kim, everybody. It's Brad in Colorado.
Hey, young man. Welcome. Glad to hear your voice. How do you be today?
Doing good. Just kind of going through a long, rainy, cool spell here, so I'm trying to keep my spirits up. I haven't seen much sunshine lately.
Get yourself a whole spectrum. Go to Office Depot and get yourself a whole spectrum Ott light created by John Ott. Gives you full spectrum light, the same thing as sunshine, and gets rid of that SAD, seasonal affective disorder, that touches so many people when they don't have full spectrum light.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I've never heard that before, so thank you.
Yeah, there was actually a gentleman named John Ott, and he started to realize the power of light. He was actually the fellow who did the time-lapse photography for the pumpkins in Cinderella. And when he missed the growing period, he didn't get the right photography the first year that he tried it, so the second year he did it again. And what happened is, you know, there is a sex to pumpkins. There are male and female pumpkins, believe it or not. And what happened was he noticed that one year, and I forget which one, he needed either the males or the females to do the time lapse. And one year they were all males, and the next year they were all females. And he was like, what is this about? And he found out that they had changed the light bulbs in the greenhouse. And they went from warm white to cool white or whatever it was, but changed the frequency of light, and that changed the sex of the pumpkins. He started to do research on light and came up with light is a nutrient that feeds the pineal gland, the only light-sensitive gland, and the light that comes in our eyes feeds it. And if the light isn't there, then the pineal gland starts to go out of balance, and that's one of the things that creates depression. And so he created a thing called the Ott. His name was John Ott, and he created the Ott light. And if you look at Office Depot, I actually buy a couple of them every once in a while and give them away because they're oftentimes, you know, $60-$80 lights on sale for $15 or $20, and they're awesome. I carry them with me and plug them in wherever I go. You know, it's always my bedside lamp.
Huh. That's interesting. Never heard of that.
Yeah, I can overcome that, you know, the areas where there are gray skies for months at a time, and there isn't that full spectrum light. It can overcome that whole thing just by having that, you know, as your reading lamp.
Well, I'm doing some reflection today, this being Memorial Day, and trying to, you know, focus in on, you know, what that really means. And
Yeah. You
know, kind of as a theme, you know, the insanity that runs in this planet, you know, as a result of war and all the violence. And just giving thought that to all the lives that have been, you know, lost due to that. And so many different ways, you know, not even the fact that the war itself, but even the aftermath. I've never really considered that thought, you know, where I felt that I was really so down and out that I wanted it to be over. except for one time. And I was fortunate enough to what I guess the best way I can relate it to is I had a divine intervention that prevented that day. But I've been eternally grateful, you know, for that taking place in my life ever since then. That was a major turning point in my life that got me to wake up to what the insanity I was living out of. So that set me on a course of action that's led up to where I'm at now. And it's been, you know, that was, 17 years ago, I believe. And, you know, it's a long, slow process, but I have to look at it as, you know, kind of like you always refer to, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. So, and I realize my elephant's a very large elephant, and it's just one bite at a time. So as far as the process and the progress, I've learned much more about effective processes from you and others. And as far as the progress goes, I feel myself more so opening up, you know, to love and holding that space for myself and others than I've ever really known.
It's pretty awesome. You know, there's a saying on the planet, it's nothing like a little help from our friends, but there's certainly nothing that compares to when that divine energy comes in, when that love comes in. And, you know, I pity the... I hold a space for them, but at the same time, I pity the person who proclaims themselves to be atheist, who can't open the space because their denial is so deep that that's possible. And it's certainly just an amazing, amazing thing when it happens. And, you know, there are things we can do to cause it to happen. One of them, sadly, is great pain. But the other one is simply, you know, doing one's work, and that that divine intervention becomes a regular thing in our lives, and that's pretty amazing when it does.
Yeah, that's like I say, I feel more connected to that energy now. I feel it moving through me and out of me, and actually opening to that space of love for others with love and compassion. That you know, it. I guess a lot of the circumstances in my life and the way it played out and the choices I made just eluded me from that. I never found it. It's you know, my song for many years was looking for love in all the wrong places, and too many faces as well. So I never really understood it. You know, I did not get an abundance of that even as a child, unfortunately, and then having one foot in two different worlds as far as culture goes, between the native culture and the white culture, it's always been a very confusing thing for me to figure out, you know, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? So, and then I looked at a lot of the insanities that compared to the native culture that the white culture brought about and we're living out of, it's taken me pretty much my whole lifetime, you know, to understand what the differences really are between the two. And when you live out of a space of love instead of all the anger and the hatred and the blame and the guilt and the shame, that it opens up to me what was the native culture's just way of being and doing it, living out of that, compared, you know, so much to the white culture. I feel more settled in that, and as far as the, you know, the ethics and the principles behind that, along with the spirituality, is what is really now set me on the path of opening up that space of love and compassion towards myself and others, and actually doing the forgiveness work properly. So it's you know, my biggest things I still have is that I hold in me this fear of letting go and opening up to that place, you know, because it's never really having understood what that can bring to a person, what you're missing out on by being afraid of your own thoughts, your own, you know, your own memories, the choices you made that were not good. I realized that, you know, I'm just running a, you know, the punishment game of myself. It doesn't take anybody else to do that. It's, I blame myself. I my anger is directed at myself. My disappointment, my my guilt, my shame, you know, and that all translates into fear. And it's the fear of opening up and letting go to that and just realize that's the very thing I've always wanted. Even from a small child, I realized that was, that's always what I wanted, but it never did seem to occur. And I even did my part in keeping it at bay for so many years. But, yeah, the shift is, I feel it. I'm still not comfortable with it. It does scare me at times. It, sometimes I take the flight path and with my emotions, and I think I made progress in that. At least Cindy certainly tells me that emotionally I open up more than I ever have, and at least with her. And I know even I can tell the difference between that, that when I'm not fearing letting go and just being in the moment with what I'm feeling and allow it, it allows me to open up to making a different choice. That just dispels the fear, and that's no longer in the way as much, as often as it used to be. So with your work and also incorporating the work of others, I definitely feel progress. Certainly not where I want to be, but as far as progress and also trying to bring this to other, you know, minds here in our area, it hasn't been as effective as certainly as I'd like it to be, but I don't view it as anything that I'm doing wrong. They're just simply not ready for it yet, but I'm still there. I make my presence known, and whenever I see an opening, I take it. Whenever somebody approaches me, I don't shun them. So
keep sowing the seeds.
Just keep sowing the seeds. Yep.
You know, until people can't function out of brain cells they don't have, and if you just keep sowing the seeds, you know, you've just acknowledged how long it took you to build the brain cells and to start to do it, and just to hold that space and be patient with people who don't have the brain cells, and keep the conversation going. Words are the way a culture is transferred. The culture of fear was transferred with words. You go back and you look at the training that you got in the military. How did the culture of the military get put into your mind? Screaming, raging words. That's what it was done with. And so it's the forgiving, of course, of those energetic dynamics that came in with words, and then the speaking of new words. And so just being in a patient, holding the space, demonstrating the possibility, and speaking about it is what at some point someone's mind is going to click from the old hostility and fear-based mind to, oh, I didn't know that was possible, and they'll make that shift. And I've seen it take as long as 10 years, you know, and it's nothing new to want to be there yesterday. You go back into the ancient scriptures, and they said you can't storm the gates of the kingdom. It's not a process you can do overnight. It's just, you know, this body-mind unit has such a huge amount of information. It's such a huge database that it's just amazing to be able to bring a shift to it and change it.
Yeah, and that's what I see. I've always had a very, sometimes what I call an overactive mind, you know, as far as relying on the intellect and thinking that I could figure it out.
Can't figure it out. You can do it, but you can forgive it, but you sure can't figure it out.
Yeah. In fact, I look at all the years that I actually were doing things that were killing off brain cells. So
yeah, that's a good item to change, for sure.
So that's really changed, and it's couldn't be more grateful for that. that I've that, you know, I was like, I was talking to Cindy this morning, and I was, and she was saying, well, you survived all this. And I said, yeah, I survived all this, but have I truly been alive through all this? And there's a big difference there between just surviving and actually being alive, and being in the moment and being able to appreciate each and every moment with, especially when you surround yourself with people that, especially like her, that's, that loves so unconditionally. So being put in the right place at the right time is something that I asked for, I prayed for, and it's come about. As far as my being able to silence my mind long enough to absorb that and quit trying to make something out of it that it's not, well, that process, you know, I'm still a work in progress with that, so.
We all are. Believe me, we all are.
But just grateful for the support, grateful for the opportunities that's come my way. Grateful that I am still here and with this opportunity to, you know, not only do this for myself, but, you know, how it will also help heal many other things for many others. So,
well, we're grateful that you're here and on the team, and we certainly acknowledge you for the space you open for both the Native American mind and the abuse that it's gone through, and the military mind and the abuse that it's taken. That you're opening that and you're moving out of that toward a state of love is just a monumental, monumental piece of work. So thank you for doing breakthrough work for the planet, because that's every person who does that opens the window just a little wider and a little wider and a little wider. So thanks for opening the window wider and supporting others and doing the same. It's just awesome.
Well, I thank you for supporting and encouraging others as well, and everybody there that's on the team. So it's an awesome place to be and awesome things to be doing. So,
well, give Cindy a hug for us. Tell her we said hello and tell her to give you a hug for us. And we'll look forward to the point at which we get face-to-face.
Yep, I look forward to that day. So,
all right, sir. Have a blessed one.
Take care.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. So we're down to just the last minute or so, and so we'll just say thank you to everybody for joining us. And again, we join you in remembering and holding the space for those who have suffered through this insanity of war and all of the abuses that go along with it, of self, of others, and the healing of the pain, and recognizing that the pain is an energy that can be healed, and that we are here to hold the space for that, and to join you in remembering who you are as the awesome presence of love. You came in just like every other newborn, and as you remember that, I think that's a very important part of Remembrance Day, and that we join in that process of bringing forward the active presence of love to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And if anyone is in the Asheville, North Carolina area, we're going to be there starting Sunday doing a full free week of workshops. We'll be at a place called the Center for Art and Spirituality at St. George Church. And so that's where we'll be starting Sunday. We'll be delighted to have you come and join us. And in the meantime, we hold the space for the best year yet of your eternal life. We invite you to create it. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye.